Hello, this is Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, September 14, 2017. University of Illinois, more undergrads but fewer freshmen. Survey, cost main reason offers declined. Undergraduate enrollment reached another record high at the University of Illinois flagship campus this fall, even as the school struggled to attract more in-state students. Freshman enrollment dropped slightly as planned to 7,518, 1% below last year's record class of 7,592 students. Not in the plan, the number of in-state freshmen fell from 5,664 last year to 5,507, even though the U of I admitted 400 more Illinois applicants for this fall. They make up about 73.3% of the freshman class, down from 74.6% in 2016, and slightly above the 73.1% mark recorded in 2015. Competition from out-of-state schools with generous scholarship packages appears to be the most significant factor in students' decision not to enroll at Illinois, officials said in releasing the admissions numbers Wednesday. Boosting in-state enrollment has been a key priority of the state U of I strategic plan. U of I officials don't think the downturn is related to fears about the state's financial future. Other state universities that saw enrollment drop, including Western Illinois and Eastern Illinois, have blamed the two-year budget impasse for scaring away students. Kevin Pitts, vice provost for the undergraduate education at Illinois, said surveys of students who turned down the U of I cited cost as the primary reason, and that's been the case for many years now. Students were specifically asked about the state budget's impact, and it was well down the list, Pitts said. It really didn't seem like that was something that was driving a lot of the decisions in our case. The U of I admitted more of its applicants this year, 61.5% up from 60.1% last year, but saw a drop in its yield, the percentage of admitted students who end up enrolling, from 33.2% to 31.4%, officials said. Pitts said the in-state enrollment number tends to bounce around from year to year, and it's too soon to say if it's a trend or just a blip. To attract more in-state students, the U of I has been working to increase financial aid, both need-based and merit-based, and has held tuition flat for 3 years. Undergraduate scholarships are also a top priority for the fundraising campaign set to kick off in October. Pitts noted that the U of I has one of the highest in-state enrollment percentages in the Big Ten, behind only Rutgers, 83.8%, and Nebraska, 75.2%, based on 2015 numbers. International numbers up. International enrollment, meanwhile, continues its climb, accounting for 1,116 students in the freshman class, 14.8%, up from 1,039 a year ago, 13.6%. Freshmen from China rose by 2 to 716, while the tally from India increased from 117 to 178. Pitts said the U of I didn't originally plan for an increase. The campus maintains a waiting list for international students and sometimes accepts candidates from that list after May 1st, the national deadline for domestic students to inform U.S. colleges whether they will accept an offer of admission. This year, the U of I admitted 357 international students from the waiting list and 150 enrolled, according to the Office of Admissions. We saw we were going to have a little bit of room because our Illinois residents were down a bit, he said. The freshman class is still among the top 10 nationwide and exceeded its target of 7,500, according to the U of I. Overall, undergraduate enrollment reached a new high of 33,624, surpassing last year's record of 33,523, and total enrollment hit 47,826, up from a record of 46,496 students last year. How much more will it grow? Pitts said the undergraduate total should level off soon. The campus hopes to boost enrollment primarily through online programs, mostly at the master's degree level, he said. After years of freshman classes between 6,500 and 7,000, the total has been closer to 7,500 for the past few years. and this year's incoming class is larger than the senior class that graduated last spring, raising the overall undergraduate enrollment, he said. If we set a new record next year, it'll be by a handful, he said. Around the system. Across the U of I system, enrollment increased 2.9% to 83,321 students, up from 80,987 a year ago, and another record high. Those numbers include online students. The growth was driven by a huge jump at the U of I Chicago, which topped 30,000 students for the first time. Enrollment rose 4.9% from 29,120 to 30,539, a new high for the third straight year. Freshman enrollment increased 22.9%. Those numbers boosted the U of I system's total of in-state undergraduates by 2.4% to 44,655. Illinois students make up about 80% of undergraduates enrolled this fall across the three campuses. But at the U of I Springfield, freshman enrollment dropped 7.3% from 300 to 278, reflecting declines at other state institutions, including Illinois State and Southern Illinois Carbondale. The Springfield campus also had 420 fewer international students at the graduate level this year, which it expected. Total enrollment dropped below 5,000, falling 8.7% from last year to 4,956. Across the three U of I campuses, African American and Latino undergraduate student numbers continued to rise, now making up 25% of the total undergraduate enrollment. And a sidebar to this, go figure. The 2017 U of I freshman class is more diverse than ever, at least as smart as last year's and heavily represented by Chicago and its suburbs. Of the 7,518 students, 20% are from underrepresented backgrounds, and 21.9% are first-generation college students of all races, both campus records. Among first-timers, 606 are Latino, 422 are white, and 223 are African Americans. 995 are Hispanic and 500 are African American, compared to 932 and 548 last year. But 118 students who chose multiracial or Hispanic as their primary category also identified as African American. 2,522 are from Cook County, followed by 704 from DuPage, 562 from Lake, 430 from Will, 192 from Kane, and 173 from Champaign counties. The average ACT score is 28.5, the same as 2015, and up slightly from the 28.4 last year. The average SAT score also rose to 1390, but it isn't a true comparison because the test changed significantly. His legacy will live on. Allerton Park. Woman renovates neglected bulb garden in honor of late husband. In the late 70s, Christy Ruskowski's husband, Mark, introduced her to Allerton Park. From then on, the couple spent a lot of time there, believing nature is good for the psyche. In fact, Mr. Ruskowski became a master naturalist, aiming to do volunteer work on the trails of Allerton. A master gardener, his wife planned to volunteer in the gardens. Then Mr. Ruskowski died suddenly in March 2016 at age 66. Eventually, after discussing Allerton Park's master plan with park officials, Christy Ruskowski decided to renovate the bulb garden in his memory. The dedication ceremony for the Mark E. Ruskowski Memorial Garden is at 4:30 p.m. today, his birthday. Christy had a vision, and we were able to help form that vision and create something beautiful and historic, said Allerton director Derek Peterson. It takes the park in a different direction because it's so unique to the park. And the bulb garden needed renovation. It had been one of the gardens that had been lost in time, Peterson said. What's cool about the renewed garden, Christy Ruskowski said, is that its plants bloom from early spring through the fall. Robert Allerton, who bequeathed his estate to the university in 1948, had planted the original bulb garden in 1908 as one of the four seasonal gardens on his grounds. However, over the decades, the bulb garden overlooking the meadow was mowed over. I didn't even know it was there, Christy Ruskowski said. Allerton's original bulb planting list also was lost, and the university hadn't updated the garden since taking over the estate in 1948. Keeping in mind that the climate has changed since then, Allerton Park sought advice from horticulturalist James Schmidt on how to renew the bulb garden. He suggested bulbs and other perennials and where to buy them. He also designed the garden following the principles of Gertrude Jekyll, an influential British horticulturalist and landscape architect in the early 20th century, when Allerton designed his mansion and gardens. Christy Ruskowski purchased the 4,500 bulbs for the garden. Along with Allerton staff and volunteers, she planted the bulbs as well as perennials. Among them are allium, daffodils, tulips, Asiatic lilies, canna lilies, hyacinth, and dahlias. The dahlia tubers, or bulbs, must be dug up each fall because they don't overwinter. They're so gorgeous, Christy Ruskowski said. I insisted on dahlias. The plants that produce cool-colored blooms were planted on one side of the garden, while warm-colored flowers found their home on the other side. A wide, curvilinear, paved path winds its way through the renewed garden. It doesn't dead-end, but instead takes users to the sunken garden nearby. Christy Ruskowski noted that most states don't fund gardens, and many private citizens don't think about doing so. She and her husband didn't have children, so the garden is their legacy. In my estimation, she said, it's almost the most lasting legacy you can make. Ongoing police investigation. Neighbor targets of KKK hoax moved. The occupants of a Northwest Champaign home at the center of what authorities described as a cruel hoax have moved out, a neighbor said Wednesday. The family lived in the cream-colored house on North Willis Avenue, received threats in the wake of locally distributed flyers purported to invite people to a Ku Klux Klan meeting at that home last Friday night. A next-door neighbor, Leanne Rutledge, said the occupants moved out within the past few days, leaving behind a tattered couch sitting beside a recycling bin, in addition to a pool of broken glass on the front doorstep. The flyers were circulated in predominantly African-American neighborhoods. Champaign Police Chief Anthony Cobb said that sparked a firestorm on social media and led to an investigation that Cobb categorized as ongoing in his address to the Champaign Community Coalition on Wednesday. In a little over 25 years of working in local law enforcement, Cobb said he's never come across a case like this. Longtime NAACP leader Patricia Avery said it merits further discussion no matter how the investigation turns out. Starting to get the hang of it, Palczewski key part on new line. He just turned 18, old enough to vote, and apparently old enough to start in the Big Ten. Alex Palczewski will open Friday's game at South Florida at guard for Illinois. It will be his first road start in college. Not that he's dwelling on it. I'm just worried about preparing for the game and just doing what I always have to do, the prospect graduate said. Palczewski moved into the starting lineup during training camp. A high ankle sprain set him back a bit, but he regained his spot before the Western Kentucky game. As the team traveled to Memorial Stadium last Saturday afternoon, it dawned on Palczewski he was about to play in his first college game. I just told myself I have to stay calm and not psych myself out, Palczewski said. I was kind of nervous before as I was running out for the first drive. I just thought, this is the same field I've played on my entire life. There's more people, but I don't care about that. I'm just doing the same thing I've always done. Palczewski was far from perfect in his first game. His position coach, Luke Butkus, let him know about it. It was all right, Palczewski said. As an offensive lineman, you never get a good grade. The coaches grade on a scale of 1 to 100. It's almost impossible to get 100%, Palczewski said. I was at a 30%. I feel pretty good if I'm like 50, 60%. Butkus, a standout for the 2001 Big Ten championship team, is not an easy grader. There's a linebacker who got a 333%, Julian Jones, Palczewski said. Butkus told us there are three things that are guaranteed in life, death, taxes, and not getting a 333%. While he might not get top grades right away, Palczewski expects progress each game. I'll be more comfortable, Palczewski said. He started with a clean slate in the second half against Western Kentucky. I didn't dwell on the mistakes, Palczewski said. If you do that, you're going to keep on messing up. I just thought of the second half like it was another game. Pazuski isn't the only freshman starting on the offensive line. Larry Boyd is next to him at tackle. "We don't really care about that," Pazuski said. "We're the starters. We have to do what we have to do. We don't get any slack because we're freshmen. We don't care how old we are. We're going to do what we're taught." Not only is the 6'6", 290-pound Pazuski adjusting to college football, he is also adjusting to college life. "You never really have any time off," he said. "I have school, I have practice, I have study hall later. It really helps me mentally. Now on weekends, I always want to do something. Go to the training room, get treatment, watch film. I rarely stay in bed." With one fewer day to prepare, the pace was more hectic. In high school, Pazuski played at tackle. At Illinois, he's ready to try all five positions. "I want to be more versatile," Pazuski said. Pazuski's family came to the Western Kentucky game, and other relatives saw the game on the Big Ten Network. "They were really happy about it," Pazuski said. "It's 157 miles from Mount Prospect to Memorial Stadium, usually by car, but not always. Pazuski's dad, Andres, has another way to get here. He can just hop on his motorcycle and be here in 2 hours," Pazuski said. The health reporter is in. Each week, longtime health reporter Deb Pressy answers questions on our website. While Illinois isn't one of the seven states that are part of the Campylobacter outbreak connected to Petland store puppies, is this illness a potential threat around here, and are there other ways to get infected besides contact with dogs? Yes to both questions. Campylobacter doesn't typically spread from person to person, but it can be spread from animal to person. But all warm-blooded creatures, among them chickens, cows, and sheep, can be infected. And local veterinarians do see cases of it, said Carol Maddox, a diagnostic veterinary microbiologist at the University of Illinois. One of the biggest sources is poultry, so hence one of the most important reasons to cook poultry thoroughly, she said. The bacteria Campylobacter causes an infectious illness called Campylobacteriosis, and it's one of the most common sources of diarrheal diseases in the country. The recent outbreak has involved 39 human cases confirmed in Florida, Kansas, Missouri, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Wisconsin, where people were exposed to infected puppies from and at Petland stores. The bacteria can be spread through contact with the feces of an infected dog or cat, but it can also be the source of foodborne infection through raw or undercooked poultry meat, contaminated water, unpasteurized dairy and produce, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. More than 83% of chicken flocks nationally are infected, Maddox said. Poultry processing gets rid of most of it, but some of the bacteria can still be present, sometimes in packaged poultry. When that happens, the most important ways consumers can protect themselves is to keep poultry cold and cook it thoroughly, she said. There have been 9 hospitalizations connected with the Petland outbreak, but most people who get sick with Campylobacteriosis are sick for about 2 to 5 days with unpleasant symptoms that can include, in addition to diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, cramps, and fever. Like most illnesses, it's the youngest and oldest of the human and animal populations likely to be impacted the most by infection, Maddox said. Puppies under 3 or 4 months old, for example, are at higher risk, and they can be pretty sick because with this infection, she said. So if you've got a puppy with diarrheal illness, call your vet as soon as possible. Maddox advised diarrhea can leave puppies dehydrated very quickly, just like it can in infant human babies. The best way to avoid infection through pets is by thorough hand washing after cleaning up after them and even after playing with them, she said. The CDC further advises against letting puppies lick your face. But who's not going to let their puppy lick their face, Maddox said. The most important thing to remember, as people live in such close contact with their pets these days, is to be aware of the signs of infections and know how to respond, she said. In addition to calling the vet, that should include getting the puppy off carpeting and into an area that can be thoroughly cleaned and disinfected. Another practice to always avoid is feeding a pet raw meat, Maddox advised. No substitute. This is Marcus Jackson's About Town column. Sports aside, restaurateur lives on the front lines. Rantoul, 8 years ago when he was selecting sport management as his major at the University of Illinois, Patrick Wampler figured by September of 2017 he might be on the fast track to rising up the ranks in the front office of the Chicago Bears, or better yet, his beloved Cubs. A coach or a general manager or something involving sports, Wampler said. It's a dream that made sense. Wampler was a standout golfer, tennis player, and basketball player at Champaign Central, where he graduated in 2009. But Wednesday afternoon, the 26-year-old was wearing a headset, apron, jeans, and a black Jimmy John's polo shirt, making sandwiches inside the brand-new franchise of the sandwich chain, which opened its doors for the first time on Tuesday at its Champaign Avenue location. It's a long way from Hallis Hall or Wrigley Field, but Wampler couldn't be more pleased with the direction his life has taken. These sports jobs are really competitive. Everybody wants to work for the Cubs or Bears or the Blackhawks, Wampler said, and there's long hours, and you're not going in there to become the general manager on the first day. The Rantoul Jimmy John's franchise is the fifth he's opened since 2014. Under the Subways LLC, he operates along with partners Austin Apgar and Craig Neitzel. He's also got two stores in Danville, one in Tuscola, and another in Taylorville. Unlike the sports path, from day one, Wampler was the boss. I liked that. I liked having the opportunity to be my own boss and to grow something, he said. That's really excited me. And in his role as the boss, Wampler isn't hiding out in some office crunching numbers all day and just delegating duties to his 100-plus employees. He's behind the counter greeting customers as they walk into his stores, and he's side-by-side with his employees as they work in tandem to create each sub in less than a minute. Sitting in an office, that's not me, Wampler said. I've got ADD, I want to be doing stuff and being hands-on, helping any way that I can. On Tuesday, the grand opening in Rantoul that meant taking part in making more than 400 sandwiches. And as the opening approached, Wampler and his close friend Chris Lehman, his area manager, spent 22 straight hours in the store making sure the location was ready for its debut. His days typically start at 5 a.m., where he usually hits two or three stores a day to make sure things are running smoothly and to help out. I'm usually done by 5 p.m., but sometimes we'll pop back in at night to check on things and just help out doing what needs to be done, he said. We've been really lucky. We've got a great crew. The managers, the general managers, are like co-workers and friends. We have a fun, hard-working, laid-back crew. But it's not all work, and it's no play for Wampler. He still plays in basketball and softball leagues around Champaign with some friends and co-workers. And a couple weeks ago, he shot a lifetime best score of 69 on the golf course at Champaign Country Club. The golf game is hit or miss right now, he said. I'll hit some shots every once in a while and be like, what in the world was that? He even found time last fall to compete in and win the Dancing with the Stars competition, a fundraiser for the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club. That was a lot of fun. It was really nerve-wracking because we got a late start because we had just opened the store in Taylorville, he said. The first couple practices, I was worried, and then at the event, when I saw all the tables in the room, I was scared. A couple of shots beforehand calmed the nerves a little bit, and he went out and had a lot of fun. And he may not be working in the NFL or MLB, but Wampler's having a ball with his whole sandwich thing. McLean County, ex-board chairman gets 1 year for wire fraud. Man pleaded guilty to taking nearly $500,000. A former Illinois County board chairman has been sentenced to 12 months and a day in federal prison after being convicted of a wire fraud scheme. In November, Matt Sorensen, 51, pleaded guilty to defrauding a Chicago consulting firm, McKinsey & Company, of nearly $500,000, the Pantograph reported. Navdeep Arora, a staffer at the company that works for State Farm, has also pleaded guilty and is scheduled to be sentenced October 18th. Sorensen, a former McLean County board chairman, was indicted in August 2015 on 5 wire fraud counts in connection with being an internal consultant for State Farm. Authorities said the fraud took place between 2003 and 2012. Sorensen stopped working with State Farm about 3 years ago and resigned his county board seat shortly after the indictment. I should have known better, Sorensen said. I did know better, but I agreed to take it. Stuart Chainin, Sorensen's attorney, said he and his client were pleased with the sentence. The judge took the whole person into account and the service Matt provided to the community over many, many years, Chainin said. Prosecutors had asked the judge to consider a more than 2-year sentence. Sorensen is required to report for federal custody November 27th. He must serve at least 85% of his sentence and will be on parole for a year after he's released. Champagne crime, warrant issued for man in bank robbery. Police have identified the man they are seeking in a bank robbery Tuesday in downtown Champaign. An arrest warrant was issued Tuesday for Derek L. Watson, 38, of Champaign, on charges of aggravated battery in connection with the afternoon incident at Regions Bank, 111 South State Street. Employees told police that a man entered the bank and handed the teller a note, demanded money, then ran away to the east after getting an undisclosed amount. Police said the man implied he had a weapon but did not display one. No one in the bank was injured. Detectives said they interviewed multiple witnesses and developed information resulting in Watson's identification. Bond on his warrant is set at $750,000. Watson is described as white, about 5 feet 10 inches tall and 170 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. He was last seen wearing blue jeans and a white shirt with a graphic design on the front. Anyone with information regarding this incident or Watson's whereabouts is encouraged to contact Champaign Police's Investigation Division at 217-403-6900. Those who wish to remain anonymous should contact Champaign County Crime Stoppers at 217-373-8477 or 373tips.com or via the free P3 Tips smartphone app. All tips submitted are electronically stripped of any identifying information and processed by a third-party answering service, not law enforcement. Cash rewards of up to $1,000 are paid for information leading to an arrest. Tipsters will never be asked their names and are given a secret code number to use when checking on a possible reward. NAACP taps interim successor to Avery. Minnie Pearson has been appointed interim leader of the Champaign County NAACP chapter following six-year president Patricia Avery's decision to step down while pursuing her campaign for lieutenant governor. "I don't think we'll miss a beat under Minnie's leadership," Avery said Wednesday. "She's been my vice president, my right hand. She's been in lockstep with the issues." Avery said the local NAACP branch has achieved success with many important issues and challenges during her years as president. One of the first was getting a redistricting map approved by the county board, she said. Under her tenure, the local branch also advocated strenuously for a Champaign Civilian Review Board for citizen review of police, and that was approved this year, she said. "We're real proud that we were at this table and prioritizing pushing for a civilian review board, and we sat on the committee that forwarded a recommendation to the city council to get it approved," she said. The local branch is also strengthened in numbers, with its membership doubling, and has seen its partnerships with community organizations grow during her tenure, Avery said. Pearson, a retired first-grade teacher for Free Unit 4 schools, has been a longtime active member of the CU community and is a life member of the NAACP. This has been Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, September 14th, 2017. Please stay tuned for Part 2.